Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Dr. Suzanne Stock, board-certified specialist in orthodontics. Dr. Stock is pleased to provide braces and Invisalign for children, teens, and adults in Iowa City and across Southeast Iowa. More online at drssortho.com.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. The duo Black Violin has been making innovative music and smashing stereotypes for the last 14 years. Their music is a blend of classical and hip-hop, and their stage presence is electric. They'll be performing in Cedar Falls at the Gallagher Blue Dorn on Wednesday, May 2nd. And here's a little sample of what they do, playing a very traditional tune, Simple Gifts. Will Baptiste, who performs with Kev Marcus as Black Violin, is with me now. Hello, Will.
Hello. How are you guys doing?
Great. Thank you so much for talking with me today. And so Kev plays the violin. You play the viola, which I think just kind of adds to the mystique because we so rarely see a viola featured on stage in a very small group anyway. Tell me a little bit about when you started playing the viola.
Well, the funny thing is, when I started playing, I wanted to play the saxophone, and I signed up for the band. They put me in the wrong class. True story. So when I walked into the class, and everyone was ignoring the viola, so I was like, listen, I'm here for 2 weeks. I'm probably not going to play this ever again. So I picked up the viola because everyone was ignoring it.
So you picked up the viola because nobody else wanted to.
Right.
And
right.
Was it love at first sight?
I mean, it took a couple of days, you know, just the whole string idea, the string instrument idea, you know. I still had my eyes set on the saxophone, but, you know, I made the best of it, and it took maybe a few days to really connect with it. And after those 2 weeks, I just kept playing. You know, I actually signed up for a magnet program the year after, and, you know, 22 years later, I'm still playing it.
So when you mentioned the magnet program, tell me a little bit more about this, because obviously musical education was a very big part of your education.
Yeah, right. So, you know, we both were very, very fortunate to be able to not only go to middle school, but high school magnet programs, but had string programs that were very, very good. But it's just different now. And actually, the middle school we went to, the string program is not even there anymore, and the high school is like the string program is struggling. So we're in the process of helping schools that we went to revitalize the string program. But it's sad, you know. It's sad that, you know, everything is flourishing, whether it's football, basketball, everything else, but the arts is always something that's always put in the back burner, which is unfortunate. I just think, you know, like what we do around this country, man, is really try to expose this idea of the arts being as important or, you know, in my case, I think more important than a lot of these, you know, extracurricular activity. And honestly, all of these things are just ways for kids to just be free and be themselves and being able to just kind of express themselves, you know. And, you know, the art is just such an essential part of why we where we are, you know.
Well, and for people who aren't familiar with your backstory, you grew up in Florida. Both you and Kevin, grew up in Florida. You both attended this performing arts high school together. Were you driving that interest in music when you were growing up, or was that more of a happenstance?
Yeah, a little bit of both. I mean, I just thank God that I was put in that class. You know, I had no interest in playing the viola, you know what I mean? And as we got older and as we got into high school, you know, we started entering competitions. And you know, Kevin and I were pretty good. And actually, Kevin is a violist as well. He's actually a violist that, you know, we basically tossed a coin and he lost. And now he plays the violin. So couldn't have two violas. But, you know, where we grew up, man, it was just such an amazing environment. Just there was always music.
you two went your separate ways in college, but then got back together to form this duo. Where did the idea for Black Violin come from?
I think the idea is really from just how we grew up, you know, and we're just a product of our environment, you know. We definitely didn't wake up one day and say, hey, let's get together and start this group. It didn't happen that way, you know. It was more so we came together, and the idea was we wanted to be the next major producers, you know what I mean? We were very heavily inspired by the Neptunes and Timbaland, you know what I'm saying, as producers, and we wanted to do that. We wanted to incorporate what we knew, which is classical music, in the popular music, you know? And it just so happened that as we grew and were performing, just imagine, you know, in the studio and we're playing beats and, you know, artists are just having a good time, and all of a sudden, Kevin goes in one room, I go in the other room, we pull out these violins and violas, and, you know, people go crazy. And then it wasn't until later we started performing and playing at parties and clubs in Miami, and we started noticing that, you know, wow, people liked it, which is nothing, it was nothing new to us because we've always done it, you know, just that, just for fun, you know.
But what about, so mixing this classical music background that you got in high school, mixing that with hip hop, with jazz, with funk, with different musical styles, was that something that you started experimenting with even in high school?
Yeah, we would experience that in high school. Like I said, it was just having fun. I remember Kevin coming to school, and he learned this line of this song on the radio, and he came back to school, and he just taught everybody how to play it. It was fun. You know, hip-hop is about expressing. It's about just really just whatever you feel, just do. You know, that's essentially what hip-hop is about, and classical music isn't quite that. So for us, It was a very natural thing for us to put the two worlds together. It was natural for us to pick up these instruments and express ourselves with the violin and the viola.
Tell me where you got the name Black Violin. I mean, I look at you guys up on stage, and I guess I have an idea where it came from. Was it just the elephant in the room that people would look at you and say, what? These are two athletic black guys playing classical music or playing music on a viola and a violin?
Right. I mean, it's partly, but one of the main reasons is there's a guy by the name of Stuff Smith who was very inspiring to us. Kevin's first day at FIU, his viola professor gave him this tape and told him to go home and listen to it. And he was just blown away just the way that this guy played his violin. And he sent it to me, and he did the same. And the guy name was Stuff Smith, right? And the album was called Black Violin, and he came out with this album like 2 weeks before he died, you know, before he passed away. So it was a very iconic album for us. And he was a black guy in the 60s, you know, he got his degree in classical music, which is ironic just to think of that back in those days, back in that time. So, you know, it was an album that really furthered our idea of thinking outside the box and just taking this violin and just taking it further than anyone's ever taken it. So for that reason, you know, that's the main reason that, you know, we figured we'll continue to, you know, break stereotypes by continue to brand this whole idea of this album that really inspired us. And obviously we're two black guys playing the violin, you know.
Did you have a hard time in the beginning selling this idea? I mean, you met with some pretty amazing early success. But was it hard to get your foot in the door?
Yeah, it's difficult. I mean, it was, but until you see it, then you believe it. You know, I think that's something that we've always gone through. You know, it's a hard sell. Listen, I got these two black guys that are going to come and rock your club or rock your party. I mean, that's a hard pill
with the
fall,
violin,
you know?
And viola.
With the violin and viola. I mean, it's something that people look at. As soon as you tell them that, they look at you funny. Like, what do you mean? Like, get out of here, you know? For us, even in South Beach, you know, where we're from, and it was a very, very hard sell, but we wouldn't let that, you know, deter us. What we would do is basically pop the trunk. There's some music playing. We pull out the violin, viola, and start playing. And the club promoter's like, oh, that's kind of cool. Well, I'll see you guys later. Come by the club around 9 or 10 and set up. You know what I mean? That's kind of how we broke in, you know?
And you did live at the Apollo.
Right. We did that. We sent a tape out to Apollo. And they called us back literally a year and a half, 2 years later. And
did you remember that you'd even send them the tape?
Yeah. It took, because we just basically recorded ourselves playing in the middle of the living room. You know, we had like a little studio at the time, and we just sent it off and see what happens. A year and a half later, we got a call. So, and it's funny, the reason why they said it took so long is because we sent it to the wrong P.O. box.
You've performed with a lot of really incredible big name talent, as well as on your own. How does that change what you're doing when you're with Alicia Keys or someone like that?
Well, that's the beauty of it. It doesn't change. You know what I mean? Because I feel like we have a very distinctive, unique sound. And usually when people want to collaborate, they want that. You know what I mean? Even with TV shows that we're working with, you know, they tell us, listen, we want you. We want your sound, which is an absolutely beautiful thing, because you're not trying. You're not trying to really do anything else but be yourself. You know what I'm saying?
Well, earlier you were talking about how hip-hop gave you an opportunity to really express yourself. And you didn't feel that in the classical music, that you had that same opportunity?
Not really. Classical music is just very, this is how you play this. This is how the composer intended the sound. And there's very little room. I mean, you got directors and conductors. They would, they would change things a little bit, just depending on what they perceive, Hindemith or Shostakovich wanted it to be. But for the most part, every piece you listen to is pretty much the same, you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, there's very little room for creativity unless, if you want to be a composer and you compose your own stuff. But classical music definitely didn't give me that, Hip-hop, that's what hip-hop is about, Hip-hop is about expression. If you're a ballet dancer, you want to express yourself, you're probably going to, break dance or something, because it's completely free. And that's what hip-hop gave us. And it allowed us to, combine these two worlds that honestly are worlds apart, but similar at the same time.
So when you bring classical music into the world of hip-hop, how does that change the classical music?
I think it bridges this gap. You know what I'm saying? It almost bridges this gap between two genres, but also communities. You know what I mean? Like during our show, you'd be amazed the crowd that's in front of us. People that wouldn't necessarily be in the same room together. And I feel like classical music and hip hop, we do the same thing. People that are listening, there are hip hop heads. They're probably a more open, particularly kids. They're more open to listening to a Beethoven or Mozart piece now. And vice versa. Someone that doesn't listen to hip-hop at all is probably a little bit more open to listening to a Kendrick, and really absorbing the art form for what it truly is, So that's the unique thing about our sound and what we bring.
Earlier you were talking about how you felt like through the arts programs that you got to be a part of as a kid, you were really able to express yourself. And I was reminded of a conversation that I had several weeks ago about helping boys, helping men really explore their authentic masculinity, as opposed to these ideas that we place on men in our society. And in this conversation, right, a lot of the men in the room, when they were asked, when did you find yourself really feeling like you were your authentic self? And about half the people said, when I was in a play, when I was in high school, or when I was in band. Band came up a lot. Do you feel like arts are an important key to sort of breaking out of this box that we put especially young men in?
Absolutely. You're 100% right. And the arts does just that. You know how many kids I talk to that finally can say, yes, I'm a ballet dancer or I play a violin, For them, they love doing it, but it's just like this idea that I shouldn't be doing this, or I shouldn't be playing this, And it's a way for them to truly just, because what it does, I know for me, what it did for me is made me feel like I was a part of something, made me feel like I was doing something special, And they gave me the confidence to even speak up in class, And And it's something that is, to me, is very, very essential. When you can have a 12-year-old, you know, expressing themselves and being who they are and unapologetic about it, it's amazing, because whatever is going on in their lives, they can open up to you and they can talk to the teachers and the counselors. You know what I'm saying? And nowadays, kids are just, anything can trigger this sense of, you know, just solitary and just, I'm alone in the world. You know what I mean? Like, kids are going through so much nowadays, and I think the arts just is a way to open them up to just have a conversation with anyone, you know? And I think it's essential, man. And I think that's the thing that we try to brand into not only the school system, but to the community, you know?
When somebody, whether you're playing for kids or whether you're playing for grown-ups, when somebody walks out of one of your shows, what do you want them to carry with them?
Someone walks out of a show, I want them to carry the fact that once they were in the room, you know, listening and enjoying his music, I want them to take away the idea that these individuals in the same room probably wouldn't necessarily see him again. You know what I mean? And to me, that's one of the biggest things of what we do. The music is great. The performance is great. The lights, the sound, all that is amazing. But at the end of the day, these individuals are coming together, enjoying something together. You know what I'm saying? For that hour and a half, there's no colors. There's no age. There's no religion. There's nothing. There's just music. It's just love, you know? I think it just opens people's minds to just the possibility that this person that's on stage that looks a certain way, that I would probably see someone that looked like him, I would have this image, this negative image of that person, but maybe it'll change now because I've just witnessed something incredible with this person on stage. You understand?
Yeah.
And I think that's the main thing I want people to take home, is just that, listen, don't judge a book by its cover. You just don't know someone until you know them.
Will Baptiste, thank you so much for talking with me.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Will Baptiste, he is one half of the duo Black Violin, and they'll be performing their unique blend of classical and hip-hop music in Cedar Falls at the Gallagher Blue Dorn Auditorium on Wednesday, May 2nd. Talk of Iowa is produced by Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe.
The particular characteristics are the same.
Stereotype, an unfair and untrue belief
that many people have about other people or things.
Stereotype, a standardized mental picture that is held
in predecir el comportamiento de una persona.